Good morning. One brief announcement. I want you to be aware that today is the Brat Fry fundraiser over at the Piggly Wiggly from 11 till 2. And, you know, go on over and after service and a coffee break and get some lunch. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming LCUUC activities and events, and everyone is welcome to attend. LCUUC is a UUA-affirmed welcoming congregation, and we are open to all people, regardless of whom they love or what pronouns they use. Come and explore what community can mean for you. Please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics that you may have here with you today as we begin our service. Thank you. Through us today and every day, may we be transfigured by the vision of what we can be. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 20 in the gray hymnal, Be Thou Thy Vision. We will be using the words printed in the order of service.
Oh, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Whether that Lord is a personalized external God or a lady goddess, a higher spirit of humanity, or a personal higher self, let me see what I can truly be. And that's our prayer for today as we examine the now and the not yet, the moments when humanity and higher understanding exist side by side, the moments of transfiguration into something more. And let me tell you, it is so good to be back with all of you today. You know you love your job when you can't wait to come back from vacation. It's just a joy to worship with you in beloved community. Some of you have been coming since the church's beginning, and some may be here for the very first time today. But no matter who you are, I'm glad you're here. So please take a moment to say hi or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Lois Romikas, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. Transfiguration can be thought of that meeting place of the temporal and the eternal. I like to think of it of that state of mind where I go into the light, or my Christian upbringing would have said it was the Holy Spirit enters me. I also think it's the guidance of what I call listening to my higher heart, that place of the best me that I can be. And it's versus, you know, those raw emotions that I have or that pure analytical thinking brain that I sometimes move into, my Mr. Spock. Sometimes my higher heart guides me, and then other times, boy, do I sink low. But all of those parts are just who I am. There is ambiguity in all of us, and that is ever so human. So no matter how you approach things, we are so glad that you are here with us today. Whether you are with us for a day or for a lifetime, we are glad that you have chosen to join us for worship, community, and celebration. And today, we have something very special to celebrate. At General Assembly last June, Reverend Amy was received into final fellowship in the UUA. Final fellowship is granted after a 3-year period of preliminary fellowship and a rigorous review. We are pleased and proud to congratulate Reverend Amy on being a fully credentialed Unitarian Universalist minister. We have a very special song for you, Amy, and congregation, please join in the last refrain.
So sweet. sunset to hold my wonder. Give me an ocean to hold my tears.
For I am open and I am willing for to behold the seas so strange. It is honest those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of day. For I am open and I am willing for to be whole.
Thank you all so much. It has been an honor these last 3 years. 4 years.
Amy. Reverend Amy. We all honor and celebrate you and your fellowship as a minister.
Thank you.
We have something for you.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Enjoy the celebration after the service with in the social hall with cake and goodies.
Thank you. We do a little switching here. I am so honored. Boy, it makes the transition to the offertory really rocky here. Every week, we do a giving ritual where we pass the offering baskets and we ask for a donation. This isn't a price of admission. And we do it up front because it isn't a payment for an amazing sermon. We give on Sundays as a joyful experience to remind us over and over that through our generosity alone, our church exists. We are not here because a diocese or a bishop or a denomination said that we had to be here. No church planter went out and said, I'm going to build a church for my own glory. We're here because we have chosen to transfigure this space. We're here because we have built a house where all people can come to seek wisdom, to find peace, and to explore community. We're here because we made something where there was nothing before. So I want you to open up your pocket or your wallet or your bag and get out something. Get out a penny, a dollar, $100. It doesn't matter. Get out something to remind yourself that it is through your actions. It's up to you. It's through your actions that we're here. Get out something to remind yourself that you, not me, you make this happen. This morning, we're going to make our baskets jingle with those pennies and those nickels and those dimes and those dollars. Because it's not about making a mint. It's about reminding ourselves that this is our house. And we're here to take care of it. And we're excited about that. So let's make a joyful noise as you give and receive this morning's offering. That you do, and for all these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this church. Every week we are asked to remember that we don't just go to church. We don't just show up and church happens. We are the church. As a community of human hands and human hearts, this is the time in our service when we come together to bear witness to one another's lives, to be the church for one another, and to witness and to minister to one another. Before the service, you are always welcome to silently light a candle up here on this candle table. But during the service, we speak aloud, and our worship associate lights our candles for us. So if you would like to share a joy or have us be with you in holding a concern, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
I'm Sarah Hudson, and I would like to light a candle of joy for our daughter's Hudson Merit team riding for the MS bike ride this weekend, and they were able to raise $10,000 plus for the research of MS. So we're very proud of the whole team. There's 20 of them riding to Madison today, yesterday and today. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kim, and I'd like to light a candle of joy for our youth. We just returned from a great service and advocacy trip in Washington, D.C., and you all would have been very proud.
Hi, I'm Joanne, and a candle of concern for my father-in-law, who's having a lot of medical issues, and my husband, who's having a lot of stress.
This is Claire, a candle of joy for my sister-in-law, who has been visiting with us over the weekend with my brother. About 3 or 4 years ago, she was in a very catastrophic hiking accident where she had a brain hemorrhage, and it was very serious. We thought we were going to lose her. She's come back incredibly over just being able to talk with her. The medical aphasia is less, which is very, very good. And she also had 2 job interviews this week. So we're very happy for her.
Hey there, my name is Sarah. It's the first time I've talked. We have a joy here. 29 years ago today, George and I got married. So we're going to celebrate by working the brat shack in a little bit.
Hi, I'm Barb. I had the honor yesterday of serving the menu for a wonderful birthday celebration for Hannah Franzblau. And it was a very joyous day. She's such a beautiful young woman. And her mom's just the greatest. So all were happy and a joyful celebration.
Hi, this is Tim. Please light a candle of concern for our eldest, Sarah, who is in her second week posting for a year at the embassy in Kabul.
Right. And we light the last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold deeply in our hearts, but which we have not spoken aloud here today.
The transfiguration of Jesus is mentioned at multiple points in the New Testament. It is the moment when Jesus is momentarily changed and becomes radiant in glory as he stands on what was probably Mount Tabor in Lower Galilee in Israel. The transfiguration is one of the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels. This miracle is unique amongst others that appear in the Christian Gospels, in that the miracle happens to Jesus himself, rather than him causing a miracle to happen to someone else. In Christian teachings, the transfiguration is a pivotal moment, the point where human nature meets God, the meeting place of the temporal and the eternal, where Jesus himself, as a connecting point, acting as a bridge between heaven and earth. The mountain is both real and a metaphor, the point halfway to heaven. Jesus was transfigured there, at that real and symbolic place. In the moment, he was a living contradiction, fully human, fully God, and given the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, do not be afraid." And the disciples raised their eyes, and they saw no one else but Jesus alone. Here ends the first reading.
Spirit of divine humanity, holy presence of many names and no name, we contemplate today the meanings of transfiguration and change and ambiguity. What changes are you working toward and striving toward? And are you ready for their fulfillment? How do we live in the now and the not yet? How do we live into our values and hopes when the world is shaped to who we are right this minute? How do we accept transfiguration in ourselves and in others? Higher Spirit of humanity, help us to find our way forward. Help us to find the moments of perfect balance where glory shines through us and where everything becomes radiant. Amen. Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
The search for those radiant moments of change and fulfillment is valuable and even essential, but not always comfortable. Sometimes we become like Peter and James and John, face forward on the ground, frightened by the light shining through our lives. Sometimes we recognize the beauty, but are unable to stand it. Sometimes we get it exactly right, despite our comfort. Discomfort. Pope Francis says this, to put it simply, the Holy Spirit bothers us because he moves us, he makes us walk, he pushes the church to go forward, and we are like Peter at the Transfiguration. Ah, how wonderful it is to be here like this, all together. But don't bother us. We want the Holy Spirit to doze off. We want to domesticate the Holy Spirit, and that's no good because he is God. He is that wind which comes and goes and you don't know where. He is the power of God. He is the one who gives us consolation and strength to move forward. But to move forward, and this bothers us, it's so much nicer to be comfortable. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 26, Holy, Holy, Holy. It is in the Gray Hymnal.
Oh,
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Now, some of you may know a version of that song that was sung by Carrie Underwood a few years ago, very popular. And some of you may have roots in a church that used it. And if you're not paying attention, it can sound like so many other hymns that sing empty praise to a divine being. But this song gives you a little more if you listen. It gives you a theology. It conveys a belief in the might of the God worshipped by Jews and Christians and Muslims. And you need to understand how the Hebrews saw their God, to understand the story of the Transfiguration, and to understand how it fits into this month's worship theme of ambiguity and paradox. You've heard part of the Christian book of Matthew. Chapter 17 is our first reading today. The story of the Transfiguration of Jesus. And today is the Feast of the Transfiguration for many, many religious groups. It's considered one of the stranger stories in a Bible filled with strange stories, because it's the only time that a miracle happens to Jesus. That a miracle happens to a human being who was himself considered miraculous by the people around him. But the story is more than that. This rabbi, this gentle man who still would turn around and turn over tables and chase people with a whip, this rabbi was considered by some to be the son of the Hebrew God. And he took three of his followers halfway up a mountain. He took Peter, who was his best friend, the man who later became the foundation of the Catholic Church. He took James and John, who were his own blood cousins. These were the people closest to him, the people that knew him very best. And when they got there, to a spot halfway between heaven and earth, something happened. And to understand it, you have to understand this. For the Jews of the time, their God, Jehovah, he wasn't like the Greek and Roman gods. Now, some of you may have studied those gods, Diana and Zeus and Ares and Minerva. The Greek and Roman gods were like humans written large, weren't they? They fought, they drank, they fell in love with human men and women. They got jealous. They competed with humans. Sometimes they even fell in love. People could understand the Greek and Roman gods. But the Hebrew God was something else entirely. Its worshipers saw it as a force too large, too awesome in power. How great thou art. Too great in scope to be able to interact with people directly. Its voice could shake mountains. That wasn't a metaphor for them. Its hands could reshape stars. You could not look at or speak to something this immense directly, or your frail human body would shake apart under the glory under the power of that immensity. So let me see a show of hands. How many people here today have seen the original Raiders of the Lost Ark? How many do I have? All right. Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was opened by the Nazis? The Ark of the Covenant that was supposed to contain just a part of their God. Let me tell you, that's a fairly accurate representation of what the Hebrews believed that the direct sight or sound of Adonai was going to do to you. It's like an electrical system with half the parts missing and you're plugged directly into live current. They'd sweep you up afterwards. So God would speak through something which could translate its power into something that a human could bear. Because if it broke through in all of its full glory, in all of its radiance, it wouldn't be there to conduct a love affair. Everything that saw it would die. It gives new meaning to how great thou art. So Jesus and Peter and James and John are standing on that mountain. They've just hiked up there at a point that metaphorically represents Jesus, halfway to heaven. Not human, not God, totally human, totally God. And that human man, Jesus, in that moment, could not hold back the glory, could not hold back the radiance, could not hold back the other side of what he was. In Christianity, Jesus is a living paradox, fully human, fully divine, fully God. And in that moment, both were completely present as the divine, as that awesome might of God broke through. And the prophets arrived in spirit, fulfilling an older Jewish prophecy. And just for a moment, everything was great. There's a reason Peter's the foundation of the church. He knows how to talk nicely. He knows how to make friends. And the first thing he said is, hey, let's build some temples, build a couple tents. We'll keep these prophets around. Being hospitable, looking for an opportunity, trying to do a little social climbing now that the prophets have shown up. But he wasn't scared. And James and John weren't scared. This was just their friend, their cousin, doing one more weird thing. And they were pretty used to weird things at this point. Water into wine, walking on water, they were great. So he's a little shiny. Nobody was getting too scared. They were seeing the human. They were seeing a little glimpse of, hey, he's a special human. And then the rest of God showed up. In that moment when Peter was social climbing and saying, oh, this is lovely. Let's just put some tents up. We'll have a picnic. It's grand. And God showed up. And this was more than they expected. They could handle the halfway point. They could handle a little glimpse of glory. But when God Almighty appeared and that glory broke through, and he spoke to them through that cloud and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And many of you have probably heard that line, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. You probably heard it made as a very gentle, oh, that's my son. This wasn't gentle. This was the glory breaking through, imbuing the full power of the Holy Spirit that Pope Francis talks about. Listen to him. Can you imagine that coming down from somewhere above you? And in that moment, they were in the presence of the glory. They were in the presence of something they could not understand. Jesus, fully God, fully human, fully the Holy Spirit. And they fell down on their faces. And then they got back up. Jesus helped them to stand back up. Their friend. And then they went back down the mountain. And the glory faded. The radiance went away. And God didn't follow him down that mountain saying, hey, remember this bit. Remember he's my kid. Keep listening. Didn't happen. They went back down the mountain. They probably got a drink of water when they got down there. They had dinner. They went to bed. They got up the next morning and they went fishing. They went to the toilet. Life went on. Because they weren't ready for any more. And there wasn't any more there at that moment. So what do we care? As Unitarian Universalists, what do we care about this 2,000-year-old book? What do we care about this 2,000-year-old weird story about lights coming down from the sky and prophets showing up? What do we care? We live in a place of paradox. Every day, we want better for ourselves. We want the best. We want the glory. We want the radiance in all kinds of areas. Just in general, we want to live peacefully. None of us want war. We don't want fighting in our homes or our cities or in our country or in anyone else's country. We want to live peacefully. We want to make enough money to buy clothing and food, housing and entertainment. We want to be happy. Not just making it through life. We want to be safe. We want life to be interesting, but not filled with crises and drama. Well, and some of us want life to be filled with crises and drama, because for us, that's the fun. We want to live life according to our values. We want to fulfill our dreams and reach our aspirations. We want the glory. We tell ourselves on that walk up the mountain, I want the clouds to open and the light to pour through. I want to get it all right and I'm ready for it. We live in the now and we work for the not yet. And sometimes when the now, when the not yet becomes the now, we don't know what to do with it. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. All his life, a guy named Bud Post wanted to just be doing okay. He lived paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes not even that. Told friends for years, I just want to make it. Just want to be able to afford groceries. In 1988, Bud Post, who was a carnival worker, carny, he won $16 million plus in the Pennsylvania lottery. Real person, you can look him up. He had never even seen that kind of money. The most he'd ever had was a tax return. He'd never been responsible for that kind of money. The glory had come. And in 90 days, he was $500,000 in debt. And by 1991, he was bankrupt. Back at the bottom of that mountain. 70% of all lottery winners do something similar. 70%. They get up the mountain and they see the glory break through. All your dreams have arrived. But they're not ready to live there. How about one a little closer to home? How about folks who have a tough marriage? Fighting and struggle and challenge, maybe abuse, until at last it breaks apart under the strain. They get divorced. Everything is calm and peaceful. You know some people like this somewhere in your life. It's what they both wanted. It's what they need to survive. And a year or two later, one or both of them has married someone exactly like the person they left. And the cycle begins all over again. They have seen the glory, but they cannot live there. They have to go back down the mountain. How about when we fight for equal rights for LGBTQ people, or for people of color, or for handicapped people, and all of a sudden we make real change? The glory breaks through, the radiance breaks through. We have done it. And all of these people begin to come ready to be included in the country or in the city or in the workplace or in our church. And now the real work of living in that radiance, in living in that glory, begins. And change has to continue to happen. And we say, whoa, now, we didn't expect it to feel like this. This wasn't what we signed on for. We were fighting for them, and now they're demanding that we change our stuff so that they feel at home. And this is frightening. This is uncomfortable. We didn't know it was going to be like this when the radiance broke through. We didn't know this was what the view from up here was going to look like. We are trained to live in our brokenness. We know the now. It feels right, even when it feels like you're dying, because it's a pain you understand. And sometimes it's easier to be miserable in a familiar way than it would be to be happy living in a new way. We know what the air is like at the bottom of the mountain. And we're fine hoping and dreaming and praying for the day that the glory breaks through in our lives. And what our life would be like if it was perfect and if we were living exactly as we wanted. We're fine when that light breaks through just a little bit. But when it becomes real, when we really make a change, when we get what we wanted and worked for and have to live there all the time, so many times the temptation is to fall flat on our face and say, this is too frightening. I can't do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not ready. The temptation, once we see the glory, once we see the joy fully unveiled, once we realize it isn't a joke and we really made it this far, the temptation's to run back down that mountain. Because while we made it here, we don't know how to live here yet. We live in the now. We work for the not yet. And when the now is gone and the not yet has become the now, we're not ready. But it doesn't mean you failed. Being imperfect, running back down the mountain, you haven't failed. Because Jesus picked his beloved friends up off their faces. He led them back down the mountain. He led them back and the glory faded. He went back to being their rabbi and friend. But they had seen it. They had seen the light break through and nothing could take that away. And your life is the same. Go up as many mountains as many times as you have to. Let the glory break through in your own life over and over and over again. And if the power of reaching that perfect joy, that goal, that happiness, that target, if it overwhelms you and you can't breathe now that you're there, go back down. Stand back up. Go back down. Have dinner. Go on. Have a drink. Go to the bathroom. Go fishing. Take a breath. But come back again. Over and over, because even if you've only seen a glimpse of the glory, even if you've only seen a little of the radiance of what your life could be, you have seen enough. Fail as many times as you need to, but continue the walk. Try as many times as you can to reach the glory, to live in the radiance. Work and fight for the things you hold dear. Walk the path you believe you should walk. The joy will still be there when you're ready. The glory will still be waiting. The mountain will still be there. You have not failed. Let yourself be transfigured as many times as you need to. Let your light shine. Amen.
Chalice, but we're going to keep shining. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 29, Joyful, Joyful. The music is in the gray hymnal, and we're going to make a joyful noise, so sing out loudly. The words we are using today are in your order of service. The light of the world, go out to the mountain and shine. Peace, and may it be so.